1 Corinthians chapter number 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13. It is certainly a strange for me to have somebody say that one of my children is an adult. That sounds strange. Y'all pray for me, amen? Those of you that have been through it before, maybe you can help me just a little bit, amen? This is our first of four, so we're grateful that Sabrina should be going off to college. She's been such a blessing, and certainly grateful as a father. And exciting to hear about all the things here. Had a great meal today with Brother Vatt and his family, and what a wonderful addition to have them come back and be here once again after these years of being gone. See them come back here to serve and have such a passion for Pacific Baptist, and certainly is a blessing, I'm sure, to you folks as well. Thanks for being in church tonight. If you found your place, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together, please. I want to, if I can, to draw your attention to this night, and I'd take you through this. I pray this will be a blessing to you. This has been a study that's been good for me, and certainly grateful and honored to get to be here again. As I say, so many wonderful memories of Pacific here. I could talk to you for an hour, I'm sure, just about some of the blessings and intersections of people from Pacific coming over to our prayer meetings that we would have in Covina, and coming over here to the college and watching when you started, and just so many wonderful things. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, thanks for being here and being so attentive to the preaching of God's word. I sure appreciate being in a place to preach where people enjoy the word of God, you know. It's the word of God that's special, amen, and certainly grateful for that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, notice, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, never. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Father, help us tonight with this subject. It's in your book, and you gave it to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Sometimes, Lord, we struggle in this area. And our understanding, Lord, I pray, would be purified, and you would guide and direct as only you can. Lord, you need to be the one that preaches to all of us tonight. This is not a subject that any one of us is expert in. And so I pray, Lord, that you would speak. Holy Spirit of God, come and work on our heart and work on our thinking and help us to receive and help us to do what you tell us to do. Lord, we want to be at our best, our very best. And we can't do that without you. We need you. Oh, we need you so desperately bad. Help us, Lord, tonight. Thanks for being good to us, Father. We love you. Be with us now as we meet together at thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want you to look at verse 10 with me again, if you would, please, just by way of some introductory comments. Notice, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, we've heard all kinds of things as far as an interpretation about this particular verse, and I've used different interpretations myself over the years in explaining, if you will, or trying to explain this passage of Scripture. This idea of when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with, a lot of times we'll say, well, when the Old Testament was imperfect and now we have the New Testament, well, that's true, but the Old Testament didn't go away when we got the New Testament. And people say, well, we have all those manuscripts and fragments and different languages of the Bible, but now we have the King James Bible, so we have that which is perfect. Well, once again, that may be true, but we didn't get rid of the manuscripts once we got the King James Bible. They're still out there. When that which is perfect is come, right now we have the church, and it's the best that the Lord can do, but when Jesus comes, he's perfect. Well, yes, that's true, but he's not going to do away with the church. Whatever it is that's perfect replaces altogether that which is in part. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be what? Done away with. So what is it? What is it that is perfect that replaces altogether that which is in part? And I've heard many different things, and I'm sure maybe you have too, if you've been around church and the Bible very long at all. But let's look at truth, and let's look at it in context tonight, and cross-reference this and see if we can't find the profitable meaning that God meant for us to have with regards to this. And in order to do that, we've got to go back to verse number 12 of chapter number 12. Go with me there if you would. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That the Lord is going to use now here the physical body to explain something to us about the body of Christ or about the church. Your physical body being made up of many parts, so also is the church. It's made up of many members of the body, but there's only one body, which is Christ. And that's what he said. Look at verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. And I like the wording here. We read it many times the way we believe it, but we ought to believe it the way that it's written here in the passage. It doesn't say that we were baptized into one body. It says that we are baptized into one body. In water baptism, they put you in the water, but praise the Lord, they brought you back up again. Amen? Can you say amen to that? But when the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, he puts you in Christ, and guess what? He left you there. You can't ever be taken out of there. Amen. Come on now. We never come out. So we stay buried in Christ. For by one Spirit, verse 13, we are all baptized into one body, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whether you're bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for one, for the body, he's going to tell us which one, because it's both here. It's not one member, but guess what? It's many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And this is real simple, as he gives to us. The feet have a certain function within the body, and if your feet don't like being feet, that's just too bad, because they were made feet. Can you say amen to that? Come on now. Does that help us? Amen? Now, I don't get to be anything but what God made me to be. And they can complain about being what they are and grumbling about it, but they're always going to be feet. If your ear might not like it, and he might say, I'd like to be the eye for a while, but that doesn't matter, because he's never going to get to be the eye. He's always going to get to be the ear, because that's what God made them. He set people in the body as it hath pleased him. And so this is given to us. If the whole body were an eye, where were the healing, the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18, but now hath God set the members in the body as it hath pleased him, if you will. And some people lived a very rough life before they got saved, and nobody really wants to air their dirty laundry about sowing their wild oats and all those particular things. But perhaps that you were saved later in life and you realized you did some things you weren't very proud of before you got saved. And you may, after you got saved, you're a little worried maybe God would judge you for some of those things after you got saved. Come on now. And they might have to pay for them, because you reap what you sow. And can you imagine going in, you're about to have that little baby, and you start asking God to let the baby turn out all right and not put any of the things, you know, you remember reading about David and what happened to his baby. Come on now. And so you want to make sure that the baby's okay. And so you go down to the hospital, and the nurse takes and brings you in, and she takes and pulls back the covers, and all there is a great big giant ear. You'd be wondering where the rest of the baby was. Come on now. You'd say, that's very strange. There's just an ear. Isn't there more to this baby? Just an exaggerated, oversized ear? Is that all that there is? You would consider that something had gone very wrong. Is there anything more to come, you might ask? Is there any more of the body that's going to come out? He's using the physical body here to talk to us about something that we understand with regards to normalcy. That the normalcy of the body, as he's talking, he's trying to help us understand about the need of each and every part that's in the body. If you walk into the church and there's this huge preacher and there's these little teeny tiny people, you might wonder what's wrong with the body of that church. There's a normal size arm and a normal size leg, and they're all functioning, the kidneys functioning, and one of the ears and everything else is all jumbled off over on one side. You say, something's wrong with that. Something's not right. And most likely you would think to yourself that something had gone terribly wrong with it. And maybe you'd put that person on the prayer list, because you'd say, hey, something's wrong with that body. Well, what about when it's the body of a church? Do we put those things on the prayer list that are wrong here? Every single part, he says, is important. Every member is necessary. There's not one person that's not necessary. Every single part, the entire body, can be crippled because of the one. Have you ever read and thought about that guy in Mark chapter number 5, where he is a man with two good legs and two good eyes and good hearing, and his hairline is fine. He doesn't have any clogged artery, but the Bible said he's a man with a withered hand. And having that withered hand, it affected what he could do. There's certain things that he could not do that other people could do, because he had a withered hand that needed to be healed. And there were some certain limitations that were there, and some adjustments that needed to be made. He was limited in some way and had to adjust how he lived and what he did, because he had a withered hand. And so he wanted his withered hand to be made what? Whole. And a lot of times when you find that, if you will, that we become the church, if you will, that's known with the withered hand. Become the church with dropsies, or become the church that's blind and cannot see, and we become the church that's lame and cannot walk. He's showing all of that to us to help us to understand about the ailments that affect the body and the function and what we can do. We think about it sometimes with regards to this way, that when Jesus healed people, a lot of times there was just one particular thing that was wrong with them that they needed to be healed in that one area. Remember the blind man, Bartimaeus, as Jesus was coming into Jericho, that it affected his entire body, that it limited him in the quality of his life. How about the church? Look at verse number 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Everyone can't be the pastor. Everyone's not going to be a Sunday school teacher. And so there's no reason, if you will, for one person to be envious over the other person. I don't want my liver to be envious over my lungs. Come on now. I want them to get along together. Say amen. Come on now. I want them to play nice together. If they weren't functioning right and there was some disagreement, we'd say, man, something's wrong with his internal organs. We'd put him on the prayer list. Come on now. What about the church? The severity of the physical ailments, if you will, that we recognize and we say, this isn't normal. This is affecting the quality of life. This is a disease. What do we do? And the Lord says, look at that. Consider what happens in the different parts of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when they go to war on one another. Or when they cease to cooperate with one another, they hinder, or one resents that person and the other person resents them. And there's a crippling, if you will, that takes place within the body, and then the operations of the body are affected. How often do you think that happens? But now, verse 20, are they many members, but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. It doesn't matter when somebody says, well, it doesn't matter when I stay at home. Sure it does. Doesn't matter when I quit. Sure it does. Doesn't matter when I leave that ministry, and doesn't matter when I stop doing that. Sure it does. Sure it does. Sure it matters when you decide to stay home and watch TV instead of coming to church. Sure it does. Come on now. When we say it doesn't matter, it doesn't make any difference, that's why he's showing us the body. He wants us to see something with this. That it does matter when you give of yourself to the workplace, but won't you give yourself to the church house as you can? It does matter. My hand seems to function normally. It seems to be healthy. But if I cut it off and I lay it on the table, guess what? It doesn't have any function. Apart from me, my hand doesn't have any function. Come on now. If it's separated from the body, if it's removed from the body, it's no longer functioning in the body, if you will. It doesn't operate independently of the body. Nay, much more those members, verse 22, of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, think about your physical body with regards to this for the moment. When you walk by and you see, if you will, this picture, you don't usually see on the face of a magazine just an ear. You see a whole body. Come on now. You don't see just a big nose stuck up there in the middle of it and say, oh, look at that. How attractive a nose. Come on now. You see a whole body, a complete body. There's something there that the Lord would have you and I to see with regards to seeing this. Now, it speaks about the comely parts. Certainly, there are some parts of the body that we like to doctor up just a little bit. And hopefully, it's just the ladies in this, but they stick those hoop earrings where the parrot can land on them. Come on now. Amen. And they're kind of spruced up. They're kind of, you know, decorated just a little bit, because otherwise they're just a comely part. Come on now. And maybe the fingernails get a little painting for the females again. Come on now. Are we okay so far? If I step on any of you men's toes, I didn't mean to. Come on now. Painting the fingernails so that they spruce them up a little bit so that they're more attractive. Are you with me? The comely parts, if you will, as he says. Those things, a little bit of a decoration. The Bible says when it comes to our physical body, do you know what we do? We take those parts, if you will, the overall appearance of those parts, and we give them just a little bit of extra, if you will, sprucing them up, as I say. And I understand, and my understanding is that more and more the importance that we take and the longevity and how I take care of my body is important. Would you agree with that? The Bible helps us to see Jesus given us, so also is the body of Christ. You shouldn't push to the curve people that we don't think are as big a givers as somebody else, because everybody's important. Come on now. That we need every member of the body, every part of the body, even those pieces of the body or parts of the body that we see as being less desirable. We're not to determine, if you will, who deserves the high esteem and this person gets pushed over here. We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died for each and every person. And we may not even understand it all the time, but understand that there's a body here that God says each and every part is necessary. Every part of the body. Maybe it's to help us in our ministering or as we have to give more attention to one particular part of the body that are less desirable, perhaps, that we get something out of that the Lord says that we need. Can you imagine him coming down from heaven to have to hang out with us? Come on now. Perfect and coming down here to earth to have to hang out with people like us, common people like you and me. Come on now. But he did it. Notice, for our comely parts have no need, verse 24, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care, one for what? Another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We all are this way. We like certain people. Certain people we get along with better. We seem to be drawn to certain people, and other people maybe we have at a distance. You remember when you were in school and in high school, and we probably did this, is you would save a seat for your friend, and if you saw somebody who maybe kind of liked to hang out with you and you didn't like to hang out with them so much that you acted like, you know, somebody was going to be stick something over in the chair just so they wouldn't sit there. Come on now. You know, we never really outgrow that. Come on now. There's certain people, if you will, that we're drawn to. And I want to say to you that's just part of it as far as our function and what we do. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us, if you will, to see that everybody is necessary. Every part of the body. And if anybody's missing, guess what? It should be noticed by all of us that somebody's missing. And it shouldn't be just the pastor to say, hey, listen, we missed you last night. But everybody ought to say, hey, where were you? We missed you. But do we do that? We might call some people, but maybe we wouldn't call other people. If anybody is starting to attend more and participate more and seems to get involved in the programs of the church, we get excited because something's happening, get stirred up about that. We want the participation, that we should help each other to understand that if somebody misses or if somebody drops out, guess what? There is a difference and it does affect everybody in the body. Do we do that? Can you imagine how loved a person might feel if we were persistent and consistent with, hey, where you been? And hey, we missed you. And hey, we love you. And we're... when you coming back? Do we do that? Because you're not here for you. You're supposed to be here for others. So when you miss, you hurt the work by not being here. Well, it doesn't matter. It's just me. No, it matters. And by the way, as we think about these things, look at verse 28. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you, notice this, a more excellent way. Now get that phrase. We just read about the members being baptized into one body, just read about how every one part, if you will, has its function in the body, and how everyone is a benefit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we need everybody. Isn't it amazing that we're all gifted by the Holy Ghost of God? God's given everybody, if he saved you, he gave you some gift that he had for you to perform in the body of Christ. There's something that each person has been given. There's something that's better than, if you will, your part and my part and all of these many different things that we've been given, having the gift and all that. He says there's something better than that. What is it? Chapter number 13. We won't go through reading all this again, but he speaks about the idea of charity, that if charity is missing, he said all of those other functions and everything that you got, if you will, profit nothing. All your gifts and everything else that you have, he said, if you don't have charity, those things mean nothing. Notice, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. It doesn't matter what knowledge you have, and it doesn't matter what faith you have. If you don't have charity, you don't have anything. So he says. You can't be long-suffering in isolation. Going to church four times a week, year after year, with the same people, guess what? Eventually, you're going to get on somebody's nerves. You're going to offend somebody. You're going to upset somebody. You're going to ignore somebody. You're going to speak to somebody in the wrong way. You're going to not speak to somebody, and they're going to recognize you didn't speak to them, and they're going to think you did it on purpose. Come on now. I mean, it's bound to happen. There's an opportunity for you to exalt yourself, and there's an opportunity for me to exalt myself, and it's usually at all the wrong times. And somebody says something they shouldn't say. Somebody does something that they shouldn't say, and it's bound to happen. You go to church with somebody enough, and you're going to get on somebody's nerves. Come on now. I might have got on your nerves today already, and I didn't even know it. Say amen. Come on now. The Bible says charity enables to not only be a part of the body and to continually function as a part of the body. Charity is the balm. Charity is, if you will, the grease that kind of makes everything work together and smooths everything out and helps it so that we absorb one another's wrongs and we absorb where somebody did said something they shouldn't have said and sat in our seat and whatever it is. I can't tell you, sometimes when I come to churches, I'm scared to sit down in a certain spot until I see everybody else get seated. Trust me, it's happened before. Where you get that look. Sometimes whether they say anything to you or not, they just kind of turn around and look at me, kind of like. And I'm thinking, oh, is this where you normally sit at? Yeah, ordinarily, but it's okay. You can sit there. Come on now. You know? People get possessive about the seat. And the Bible says charity takes care of that. Because it suffers long, it's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You know what evil is? It simply means hurt and harm. You ever thought hurt and harm toward somebody? I mean, not like you hope the chandelier falls on the preacher or anything. I don't mean, come on now. But have you ever thought, maybe, boy, I hope they get theirs. Come on, you ever thought that way? Sometimes I'm out of sorts, and sometimes you're out of sorts, and sometimes I'm going to need your love, and sometimes you're going to need my love. Sometimes I'm going to be maybe quick tempered with my tongue, and sometimes you're going to be quick tempered with your tongue. Sometimes you're going to bother me, and sometimes I'm going to bother you. And he said, that's why charity is necessary. God wants you and I, if you will, not only to be a part of the body of Christ, but he wants us to have charity, because that part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that he loved enough, if you will, to save them and die for them is the same part of the body that maybe you're having a problem with. Or the same problem, or same part of the body I'm having a problem with. And so he goes through this and he helps us to understand. He says, listen, charity never faileth. Charity doesn't get offended and walk off huffed and puffed and upset with everybody. Charity doesn't get upset because one person got to sing and we didn't get to sing and she got to play the piano and I didn't get to play the piano and they get to teach a Sunday school class and I don't get to teach it. And why is he always up in front of everybody and I don't ever get to be up in front of everybody? See, that's not charity. And it's something that all across America that we continue to run into this same thing. That the reason the church doesn't accomplish as much as it possibly could is because there's a lot of conflict. And people leave. Then you got to go find new people. It happens. And Satan loves it. He loves it when it happens. The people quit church and they've got spiritual gifts. You ever knocked on a door and somebody knew more about the Bible than you did when you knocked on their door? Come on now. That they got disgruntled and they got out of church because they got out of sorts with somebody else. And they took their gifts and they left the church. The Bible helps us understand that charity is a security system for the body to help us with these things. Because some of them, if you will, used to be in church. And some of them who had knowledge and some of them who had those things left. Because either they weren't loved enough or they didn't love enough. Their knowledge is taken away. Their giftings are taken away. And the breakdown is a lack of charity. And usually it can be something that's on both sides. But most of the time when you and I look at it, it's them and it's not us. Come on now. We know this even in our own homes. It's always my wife. Just look at her. You see how mean she can be. Amen. Come on now. It's great to have knowledge. It's great to have giftings. It's great to proclaim the word of God. But without charity, guess what? It's not going to function right. You want to do bigger and better things for God? You're going to have to love one another as Christ loved the church. And he gives it to us and helps us to understand that. Verse number 23 of chapter number 12, he's going to help us with regards to the context of this. He's going to show us something. And chapter number 13, he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be done away with. Now, from the context, I want to show you what the part is. We already read it. Go back to chapter 12, verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Do you see this little finger, if you will? It's a part of my physical body. This hand is a part of my physical body. This arm is a part of my physical body, just as or in the same manner that each and every one of us are a part of Christ's body. What's more important, my finger, my hand, my arm, or my what? My body. Which one's more important? The body is. I can do without this, and I can do without this, and I can do without this, but I need this. This can be done away with. Are you with me? This can be done away with, but this can't be. What's more important, your body or your part? What's more important, your family or our body or your ministry or our body? What's more important? Do you know what God's saying to us with this? I'm trying to bring you to the place whereby charity is better than the individual parts of each and every person, that it's more important, it's more beneficial that we love one another. It's better that there's a love for each other, that you benefit the whole body than the one part. Because guess what? Every sermon that you come to church for, it's not for you. You hear people say, well, I don't have any family, so they're going to do a family series, and so I'm just going to stay home. Come on now. They're going to do a missions conference, and I don't do missions, so I'm just going to stay home. Come on now. And we start excluding ourselves from all the many different things that take place in the church because we say, we're not a part of that. And so we withhold our part from what God says is supposed to be a whole, that we need to be part of the whole. Well, Pastor, that's not for me, and I don't like that particular song, and I don't like that particular ministry. Every time you walk through those doors, you're going to meet people that have burdens and heartaches and troubles and trials and tribulations that are going on. And they don't have to come running over to you and ask you what yours are. Ephesians chapter number 4 helps us with this. Look at Ephesians 4 with me. Hold your place here, if you will. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. That part is my individuality. And the perfect is when I lose my part and I become absorbed into the entire body of Christ. When I lose me. And when you lose you. Then the parts are done away with. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. He says something to us in that part that I'll just say to you quickly. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Do you realize what characterizes, if you will, every child in the nursery? They're entirely selfish. It's all about them. They want all the toys. They want all the attentions. It takes more nursery workers to operate and work with selfish children than it does unselfish children. Those parents, if you will, that cater to every little whim of their child, they're raising their children to need all of the attention so that their part is the most important part. Is everybody okay so far? You know what characterizes most every lost person that you ever met? They're entirely selfish. Do you know what characterizes far too many saved people? Selfishness. Well, I don't like this, and I didn't like that. Or I think it ought to be this way, and I think it ought to be that way. We were going over and looking through the building today, just kind of seeing where things are, and started thinking about, you know, the paint schemes. You know, one of the worst things to bring up in a church meeting is paint schemes. Come on now. Well, I think it ought to be. Come on now. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Amen. That's good. It'll help you fan anyways. Raise your hand. Amen. Paint schemes. Well, what's the color of the carpet going to be? And what color is this going to be? And what color is that going to be? You know, there's more trouble over those kinds of things than there is of going to prayer meeting and going soul in it. Why does everything have to meet your approval? Or why does everything have to meet my approval? Why does everything have to be done to suit me? Or why does everything have to be done to suit you? Why is it that we can't enjoy church unless everything's done our way? Well, I don't like that song, and I don't like that music, and I don't like that style of preaching, and I don't like that sort of thing, and I don't like him, and I don't think I could do that if he's going to be involved, and I don't think I could do it if she's going to be involved. Do you realize how much that dysfunctions a church? Because of all the different parts. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So we just read, if you will, over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the gift that he gave to me, he gave me one gift, and he gave you a different gift, and he gave this person another gift, and he gave that person another the gift, and he did it and then set the members in the body as it pleased him so that they could minister one to another and so that they could minister to people outside and so that there wouldn't be any limitation and that the ability, if you will, and that the church would function. And then he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? Say it with me. A perfect man. Say it again. A what? A perfect man. Say it again. A perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know, you know what, if you will, what that which is perfect is? It's every member of the body ministering to the rest of the body and not ministering to itself. And then you have a perfect body, or you have a complete body, and you don't have parts. The part is sacrificed for the whole. Me going to church is good, but it's imperfect. Me serving God is good, but it's imperfect. Me getting a blessing from church is good, but it's imperfect. So what is it that's perfect? Me ministering to you and serving you, and you ministering and serving me. And that as we minister one to another, as we serve one another, we fulfill the law of Christ. We fulfill what God's given us to do. And we put away the childish things. And that which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be done away with. The individuality of this thing. I must die. So that the function of the whole is made perfect. That we henceforth, notice again, he brings up about children. Be no more children. We just read that over in 1 Corinthians. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in what? Love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? In love. He says the same thing to the Ephesians that he says to the Corinthians. When you get rid of the every part, then you have a whole body, a complete body. God in his wisdom, I believe God certainly made man, evolution didn't do it. Come on now. God made man that God could have put, if you will, the ear in one place and the nose in another and kidney here and kidney there. And you could have been 40 feet wide. But that's not what he did. You know what he did? He compacted the body. He compacted all of these many different parts into the size person that we are. He didn't make us way out here and way over there. He compacted the body together. That he took people from different places. He took people from different nationalities, from different backgrounds, from different classes of citizenship. He takes all of these many different people and he puts them together into one body. You don't find that anywhere except church. And the only way that it works is if we love one another, as Christ told us to. Otherwise, it doesn't work. When a woman gets pregnant, she has to make room for a new person. Things get really cramped as the members, if you will, of the body start squirming and trying to make room for the immaturity, if you will, of that child. And then when the child is born, if you will, there's a joy. Can I say to you, it's a beautiful picture of what happens within a church. Somebody new comes into the body of Christ. But I don't like this guy, and she's kind of strange, and I'm not sure they're going to fit, and I'm not sure they're going to work out. And that's what Christ does when he compacts the body together. bringing everybody into one, sitting in the same place, talking about the same things, no division, no distractions, no distinctions. Everybody has the same mindset, talking about the same Christ, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the one and it's not us. And then you have a whole body. You ever notice if all of us are talking about Christ, everything is all right? But the moment that the conversation becomes about us, everything gets messed up. As long as we can keep the conversation about Christ, we're doing well. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then shall I be known also, even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. There is no way to picture heaven as being a bunch of individuals bragging about all the things that they did. Well, I did this, and you ought to have seen what I did down there, and boy, I sure am special. No, when we get to heaven, it'll all be about one. It'll all be about the Lord Jesus Christ. One body, his body. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. It's supposed to be in earth in the same manner that it is in heaven. So how are we doing? Fitly framed together, the whole body coming together. Follow after he begins to talk about it. I don't have time for it, but 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity. He talks about what he can do and how many words that he can speak and speak in tongues and all that. He said, but I would rather just speak one word to edify you. It's not about how it benefits me, he said. It's about how it benefits you. And that's what ministry is. And that's where you find, if you will, if I could say, use the word, I hate to use the word successful, but when you see a church that's come together and there's been some success and there's been some growth and there's been some things like there has at Pacific, it's because of sacrifice and selflessness of a man who sets himself aside and says, I want to do this for the Lord. And he goes out into the community and he just starts reaching a bunch of people. Come on now. And really, the only people maybe that were listening and would gather together was maybe a bunch of Cambodian kids. Come on now. Is anybody hearing me? And God said that, and the pastor says, that's what God gave me, and that's what I'm going to use. Come on now. That God did that. And he brought it together. And guess what? That principle, that philosophy, that thinking with regards to love, is that not what Pacific Baptist has been built upon? A love of Christ and a love for others? Come on now. Is that not what it's been built upon? Others? The success, if you will, that sometimes gets lost in translation with regards to what we see. Let me give you just a few thoughts and then I'll close. It's a completely opposite of what you see in the world. Everything you hear in the world from the day that you were born, every TV show, every movie, everything, if you will, it's all about you. Everything's about you. Should be, if you will, because you are you after all. Come on now. McDonald's didn't start a cooperation to make money. They started a cooperation so that they could make you smile. Burger King didn't start their cooperation for profits. They designed it so that you could have it your way. Come on now. And that's the propaganda of the day, so that as you talk to people, preacher, we're looking for a church. And what do you have for our family? Nothing. Come on, what kind of programs have you got for us? And what do you have for us? And what will you have that makes us happy? Nothing. What do you have for us? You realize you can't even say that? You'll scare everybody away. Come on now. What kind of church is this? Not the kind you're looking for. Come on now. What do you have for our teenagers? You're not going to like it. You might as well just call Disneyland and find out what they've got going on for your family. Amen. Come on now. I got gifts and you got gifts. As soon as you got saved, the Lord gave us the ability. And the moment that you and I got saved, he gave us those ability to be able to use these things. But God gave us these things not so that people could look at you or that they could look at me, but so that we could, if you will, invest those in the work that God gave for all of us. And as we do that, we're going to see something that is so special and so different, if you will. Why? Because all of us, if you will, have it in our mind and in our thinking from the nature of us that it's about us. That which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be done away with. Mommy and daddy's working hard to make sure that their children grow up to be productive people. That it's about others and it's not about them. It's true in context. I believe it's true in the cross reference. I believe it's true in this. It sure is key to the Christian life. And once you become perfect or complete, and there's a body of believers that care about Christ more than others, then it becomes about seeing souls saved and lives changed. And every church that I've ever been in across the United States of America that's functioning well, you find a church that cares about and loves others. And I think that that's a key to what has been successful, if we can say it that way, for Pacific Baptist Church. It's a group of people. Why are you here? Is it not because somebody loved you? Come on now. How many of you are here because somebody found you and loved you one day? Come on now. Found you out there somewhere, Brother George. Come on now. They found you out somewhere and say, hey, come. And guess what? There's a whole community out there of people who still need to be found to know that somebody loves them. Does Jesus love them too? Come on now. And that which is perfect has come. That which is in part shall be done away with. It's a hard thing to do, but we're going to have to set aside the individuality of us so that souls can be saved and lives can be changed. Stand with me if you would, please.